Welcome back to the Book of Jonah, Chapter 4. The Ninevites repented, the Lord relented, and judgment has given way to mercy. Now you gotta wonder, did the change last? Did the Ninevites stick to it? Did repentance and salvation make way for sanctification? We don't have that story, but we do have one more story from Jonah. In this account of changed lives and changed hearts, we still don't know if Jonah really changed. Sure, he obeyed, but did it get to his heart? Remember, Jonah hated the Ninevites. They were cruel and violent people. So how will he react when God shows mercy to the wicked? Chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Jonah is not having it. The pious prophet is furious, which is why I like to call this chapter, What's Eating Jonah Now? Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. But Jonah is angry. God's mercy seemed very wrong. Why? Because grace isn't fair. It's better than fair. No one deserves mercy. You can't earn grace. And Jonah wants justice. Look at verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Apparently, Jonah had this conversation with God once already, before he fled. He knew God might forgive the wicked, and he ran from it. And now we see Jonah hasn't changed. Amazing. The wicked sinners changed just like that. But the religious guy, the pious man, wouldn't give in to God. That's how it goes sometimes. Back in verse 2. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Wow, this is a phenomenal revelation of who God is. This is exactly what we read the Bible to find, to know God. Jonah knows God's nature, but he doesn't like it. Ever wrestle with that one? Wonder if God is not exactly what you'd have him be? Oh, he's good, but you don't get to form him. Look at who God is here. He is gracious. He gives good things that we do not deserve. He's generous with it. Compassionate. He feels. He hurts with the hurting and cares for the suffering. Slow to anger. God's patience is phenomenal. And abounding in, overflowing with, brimming over with, never running out of love. A God who relents. Think about that. God, the unchanging creator of the universe, doesn't change his nature, but he does change direction. He allows wrath to give way to mercy. He relents when we repent. That's God's nature, but it isn't what Jonah wants. Look at verse 3. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow, Jonah is ready to die. Game over, man. What happened to Jonah inside the fish? The man who took a vow. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Where'd that go? Vows made in the pit are easily forgotten in the sun. And there's a serious lesson here for us. We do not form God. Maybe you don't like God's mercy, or maybe you don't like God's wrath. But God is God, and we are not. So in verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Perfect question. Plain and simple. Jonah, is it right to be angry? Christians, it's so easy to get mad at sin and claim our righteous anger. But is it right? James warns us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now to verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. This is amazing. Jonah sets up a viewing area outside town to watch the fire and brimstone show. I think he's still convinced that God's going to take them out, and he wants to see them go down. Gil Irwin tells a story here. Imagine a Ninevite father and son go hiking near Jonah. The boy asks, why is that man so angry? It's okay, son. He's just upset because we're alive. Do Christians ever act that way? Do we ever talk about doomsday, like we're out of here and the world can go to hell? If that's you, read Revelation again and watch how many times God's mercy is proclaimed and the countless people who get saved. Yes, there is judgment. And here in the Old Testament, you will find many prophecies of God's wrath upon the wicked. Not unbalanced, not unfair, but just and righteous. And the God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is the same God who spared Nineveh. And the God who is slow to anger will not delay his wrath forever. And it is not for us to choose one God over the other, the merciful or the wrathful. He is one and the same. The key is to remember that vengeance is his. He will repay, and we can leave it to him. So God has a lesson for Jonah. Verse 6. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Amazing how a little blessing can make us so happy. His discomfort was eased. That's nice. Verse 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Notice the phrase, God provided. The plant for shade, the worm that killed it, and the scorching heat. God gives, God takes away. Ecclesiastes reminds us, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider, God has made the one as well as the other. If your concept of God holds together when times are good, but falls apart when the comfort is gone, how small is your faith, and how narrow your concept of God? Jonah is again done with life. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Jonah, you cared about the plant like it was your friend." Funny how easy it is to care about animals or plants more than people. Verse 11. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Jonah, you're ready for the fireworks like it's a good thing, but those are people. God wants his servant to learn compassion, and he wants the same for us. Jonah's story ends there. Did he listen? Did he learn compassion? We don't know. But our story is still on. Will we learn? Christian, the world is wicked, and people are bad. There's no doubt. But God created them, and he so loves the world. It's so easy for us to sit in our little shelter and enjoy our little comforts. But there is a world out there desperate for hope, desperate to know if they can change, to know if there is a God who is gracious and compassionate, who relents when we repent. To those wondering, please know that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that happens when we are born again through the living and enduring Word of God. And sometimes Christians forget that. So Paul reminds us that we should regard no one according to the flesh. Don't just see the sin. See the new creation they can become. God can change a person, and he's not done changing you. And your understanding of who God isn't done either. God is both just and the one who justifies the ungodly. He is the God of wrath and the God of love. Vengeance is his, and so is mercy. And it is for us to know him and make him known. And that's the book of Jonah. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.